I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest. So Rob and Chappelle, give it your best.
Chappelle, look out. We have a ghost, and we have the number one movie on Netflix to talk about today with the number one guy to host the podcast with. It's Chappelle.
Rob, how does Netflix keep getting away with this? How do they keep
what are they doing?
How do this number one movie on Netflix?
Number one.
Thing, there has to be an ethical dilemma with some of these like rankings that they have, because I refuse to believe that. And We Have a Ghost is very new. It's brand spanking new. But I mean, it is the number one movie on Netflix over something called The Strays, the Oscar-nominated The Woman King.
People are like, oh, what were the Oscar-nominated movies here? Let me watch that.
Let me watch the movie that is held in high regard with one of the greatest actors of all time. No, let's go watch Captain America, Hunt a Ghost. Here we are.
Well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy on Netflix, because they have stuff that's new and then they shove it down your throat and then people watch it because it's like, okay, well, this is featured. This is new. Okay. Netflix is telling me to watch it. And then they come away with like, guess what's number one? This little underdog did it. We Have a Ghost. Number one. Look at us.
It even dethroned Your Place or Mine, which I'm still shocked is still holding strong in the top 10 movies in U.S. today. We actually got some feedback about Your Place or Mine. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, would love to.
I'll paraphrase because I don't have the exact message here, but it's something about you and I need prison time for talking about Your Place or Mine.
Prison time?
Without somebody who actually likes rom-coms.
Oh.
The rom-com stands
narrowing
are out
down
to
the
get
suspects.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could just imagine who said that. But it says, you and Rob not having a guest on for Your Place in Mind is a hate crime. So Kirsten, we will try to get you into the mix next time. Something niche as Your Place in Mind is dropped on Netflix again. I'm sorry.
Your Place
in
Mind too. Book it.
Yeah.
Kirsten McInnes.
Kirsten and Sasha both. The rom-com ace. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about We Have a Ghost, a brand new movie that just dropped. And so we will get into all of that. Full spoilers for We Have a Ghost. Chappelle, last time out, we talked about Full Swing with Grace Leader, and that we had a fun time with Grace. But Grace, she finished the series.
Yeah. What did she think about it?
You got to listen to Grace over on Off Speed Sports Podcast, where she finished out Full Swing. So if you liked what we talked about last week, you can go ahead and hear Grace continue the coverage as she finishes out Full Swing over on the Rehapups feed.
I'll take it. I'm going to go listen, because then I don't have to go watch the rest of it.
I love that for everybody. Happened. It's like, hey, you know, we're the warm-up act. Okay. You want the rest of it? Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Grace is going to do the necessary work. You know, I was just going to watch it, not really know what was going on, not know a lot of the players. But like I said, Grace is a professional, so she's got it. She's got it handled.
All right. So We Have a Ghost, a brand new movie. It was billed as a family comedy, but it's PG-13. And so it deals with a house that is haunted by a ghost named Ernest. And we will talk about that. But Chappelle, let me just get up front. Okay. Do you care about ghosts?
No. Completely indifferent. I feel like even in the real world, or even like ghost paranormal things on television, I always feel like as long as the ghost ain't really bothering me, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. You know, like once we've established that the ghost has no ill feelings towards Chappelle and I've done nothing to anybody, so I feel like I'm in pretty good shape when it comes to that. I'm good. There's a moment, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, in this movie where they discovered the ghost and very quickly realizes this ghost is not that scary. And I probably would have been like, all right, cool. Well, I'm about to go to sleep. So that's about it.
I have a lot of questions about ghost culture and who cares about ghosts. And, you know, the movie explores some of these things. And I'm wondering that young people don't seem that scared about ghosts in this film. And there's a lot of discussion about how young people in particular react to ghosts and ghosts like in the social media age. Are kids not afraid of ghosts anymore?
I don't think so. I think they're more like curious. I think that the internet has made the world a lot smaller, and there are things that we used to wonder about back in our day, Rob, that you really didn't have concrete answers for because you couldn't just Google them on your phone. You had to do a lot of really in-depth research or do some traveling to find this stuff out. And now things are just at your fingertips, you know, literally with, you know, clicking onto your phone. And so there's things you could learn about without even having to go through all the channels that you and I would have to go through. So these kids, they have a lot more access to kind of demystifying what paranormal activity is and to learning about them as opposed to being afraid of them just because it's, you know, you're afraid of the unknown. I mean, there are even college courses and degrees now that are like geared toward paranormal activity, ghosts, witches, demons. You know, you could actually be like a scholar in this type of subject now. Wow. So it's a very big deal.
I just wonder for young people, and you know, the movie talks about teenagers and people, Gen Z, like, is the actual world just so scary that ghosts, like, come on, who cares?
Yeah, I'd probably say that too. You know, the outside world is terrifying. There's a mm-hmm. lot of things you can be afraid of, including ghosts. You know, we don't know what is all not to know. We don't know what we don't know yet. And so, yeah, the unknown is terrifying. And I think ghosts are kind of a known quantity at this point. Like, you got the gist of it. You know what they do. You know they're dead. You know that they might be sticking around to finish some unfinished business. But for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. You might find you a violent ghost that does some weird stuff every now and then, but I mean, Casper kind of was like the first to kind of, you know, kind of let everybody's guard down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came out and told everybody, it's cool. We're not all bad. And everybody's like, oh, okay. And so we've been easing in ever since then. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Casper, wherever he is. I'm sure he's doing okay.
Yeah. Because I guess the ghosts mostly don't kill you. And so they're just kind of annoying, right?
Yeah, they know. I don't want to offend any ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. Don't get me wrong. If there are some ghosts out here doing some nefarious things, we, of course, disavow them completely here on Nothing But Netflix. But, you know, for the friendly ghosts or just the, you know, benign ghosts, you know, who's just hanging out, just not minding their own business. Yeah, go do your thing. Just leave me alone. That's all I care about. You know, if you want to, you know, drop chains in the attic every now and then, wait till I'm asleep, in deep sleep. Not the kind of sleep where I can wake up, but it's like, make sure it doesn't interfere with what I'm doing. As long as I don't, you know, step on your coattails. Don't do anything to me. That's all I'm saying.
I'd love to get your review of this movie. Did you like We Have a Ghost?
Absolutely not. It wasn't a dislike. It was more like a complete like disregard. I could have seen it, could have not seen it.
You were like the kids in the movie of like, ooh, like whatever. I don't care. Go away. Stop it.
Don't get me wrong. I was ready to be invested in a horror movie and even a ghost movie. So I was sitting there on the edge of my seat. But within 5 minutes of spotting the ghost, I mean, really within 30 seconds of seeing the ghost, they tell you this ghost is not scary. You don't have to worry about this ghost. I was like, oh, okay. And so from that moment on, I just kind of felt like, well, why am I here? And it seems like this movie is less of a family horror comedy as they, you know, slated it to be on Netflix and more of just a like a feel good story about helping out a ghost. Mm-hmm. And so probably closer to Casper than any other ghost lore that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know what this movie is really trying to do. I do think they hit on some interesting things that they really end up like exploring the idea of the family trying to profit from having a ghost in the house on social media. And I do think that there are some interesting things that I've never seen talked about in a movie before. And so I did like that, but the movie goes on and on. This is a rare like Netflix original movie that is, you know, over the 2 hour runtime. I think we had like two hours and 15 minutes for We Have a Ghost.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about movies that are kind of lengthy. I'm not a big fan. This movie was longer than, not to spoil any recent Marvel movies, but a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I've been on record to say that those movies are too long. And a lot of times I'm falling asleep in those movies. So this was no different. It took me twice to finish this movie without falling asleep.
Wow.
But I just think there's a lot of time where it's really setting up maybe like a tone for us to really get invested in the story of this ghost. And then there's a like a 15-minute high speed chase as well. So there's a lot of things that I would have cut down, made it okay.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, we combined a few Netflix movies here. Well, the one that I like that we watched around Halloween was The Curse of Bridge Hollow. That has like a little bit of that here. And so that was good. But what was the movie with Queen Latifah and Ludacris where they were being chased?
End of the Road, right? End of the Road. That,
was that throw it? Some of that in there. And then I feel like they were going for like a lot of like the last like part of the movie was like really trying to get like really like schmaltzy, like trying to do Slumberland. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is this?
Yeah, Slumberland's been done, y'all. You don't have to.
I'm getting supposed to be like sentimental about Ernest the Ghost.
Yeah, Ernest or Randy, depending on who you ask. You know, I have trust issues because of this movie. I feel like there was an opportunity for this to be a family movie, and I don't think it hit the mark there. They also called it a family horror comedy. And I don't think this was funny, but I do think this was a movie. And
it was a movie.
I didn't hate it. I just was not enthused by it in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk it through about what goes on here in We Have a Ghost. Oh, yeah. And the other one, what was the one that I watched where the family bought the house and then that there was the ghost and they were getting the letters?
The Watcher.
The Watcher, yeah. So throw some of that in. So this is kind of like a combination of a bunch of different things that they threw in the Netflix blender and spit out, We Have a Ghost, because it opens up, it does share some DNA with that, in that Jennifer Coolidge is in both of those movies. But we end up with a family is just like looking for some real estate. And they end up buying like this abandoned, dilapidated, obviously haunted mansion. Mm-hmm.
It might as well have a sign on it that says I'm haunted. You know, the first thing we see is like this other family running terrified from it. And then we see the new family moving in. So yeah, big The Watcher vibes. But if you have to say that a house looks haunted, it's probably haunted. You know, like there's only so many cobwebs you're going to have before a ghost just materializes.
Yeah.
And there is cobwebs around this house. It looks like it hasn't been touched in decades. They call it a fixer upper, but it's even marked low for that. So all signs are pointing to shenanigans here, paranormal activity. At the very least, you know, someone died or may have died near or around the house. And so, you know, I just think that it was a bad decision from jump, but people make work decisions in movies, I'm sure.
I watched the first episode of the CBS sitcom Ghosts this weekend.
Why?
It came highly recommended to me. Somebody told me like, oh, you know what? Ghosts is actually a good show. And I watched the first episode of Ghosts.
So I have been seeing the previews for Ghosts for almost 2 years now. Yes. And I actually think the commercials look very inviting, and it looks like a show that I would enjoy if I sat down to watch it. But you have now seen it. I have not. Tell me, what was your review, first glance at Ghosts on CBS?
I mean, I thought it's cute. I thought it was the kind of show I could watch with the kids and, you know, have a few laughs, like a sitcom, just so, like, you wouldn't have to pay too close attention to it. In Ghosts, the couple in Ghosts, not to spoil anything, but they inherit a haunted house. And it's like, okay, well, like, look at this. Like, we could live here. We own this house. But for this family, who is seemingly like on the ropes to come in and buy this house, questionable move.
Yeah, it looks like the family is, they're not all on the same page. I will say that there's the dad who, this is his baby. Obviously he's the reason why they're here. Anthony Mackie's character is like, he likes to hop from like idea to idea, looking for his opportunity to kind of determine what his, like, I guess his direction is in life. And he's been dragging his family from location to location doing that. And now he's chosen this. This does seem like this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because it's a haunted house, very obviously. And it doesn't look like a lot of his family members have bought into the idea of staying here. He has a son who doesn't seem interested in either way. It's like he just kind of will go and do whatever. His wife does not seem to enjoy the idea of living in a haunted house once she realizes that it's haunted. And then he has another son named Kevin, yeah, who is at the stage in his life that most teenagers hit where they just completely hate their parents. And so there's nothing that he can do to make him happy. So yeah, this just seems like a tactical error from Anthony Mackie's character just from the beginning.
Yeah. And it also seems like we find out later on in the movie that Anthony Mackie, I mean, I don't know if con man is the right words to describe him. I mean, he talks about how he was running a pyramid scheme, but he's definitely somebody who, does he have a job? Do we know what his job is?
No, it seems like he's popping around from the, I won't say get rich quick scheme, but definitely like he's looking for a sure thing. He's looking for something that can change his family's life for him to get rich. And for a lot of people, that does start to look like those pyramid schemes, Rob. Mm-hmm. It's something about them. Let's just plop down and talk about those for a second.
Yeah.
And I don't judge people for getting involved in those. I get it. I understand that these people throw a lot of shiny words at you and say that you're going to make a lot of money and all this other stuff. And they show you the data. They show you the little form that makes it look like, oh, you too could move up the ranks. But then when you flip that chart to the side, it looks like a triangle. And then that should just be like telling you everything you should know about it being a pyramid scheme. But Anthony Mackie's character, like many of those people, just, okay, this sounds like relatively easy money. I can make a living or even get rich off of this. Let's do it. And so that leads them to, I guess, hopping around from business to business and eventually trying to become influencers, which we've seen in recent years is a very, I won't say lucrative way,
yeah,
but a very quick way of getting notoriety.
A little scammy too. Yeah.
Yeah. A little scammy, and it takes a lot of effort that people aren't willing to put into it. So that's where the scamming comes in.
Yeah. So they have two kids, an older son who is Fulton, and then the younger son who's really the protagonist of the movie, Kevin. And so they pull up. The kids aren't like, what are we doing here? We're buying this house. Just like, okay, they see it and then they move in and boom, we're in this like really creepy house.
Yeah. The kids don't even put up a real big fight about it because I'm sure this is like the 15th or 16th time they've had to pivot their lives just based off of Anthony Mackie's whims. And so they seem like this is just more of the same.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the movie doesn't take long to get here where Kevin, who plays acoustic guitar, not a major plot point.
Doesn't it? I mean, it's like a minor detail that you can't overlook, right? Because it starts off like, oh, this is just this weird quirk about him. But then eventually it's like, oh, but you need the music to soothe the savage beast, or at least to get, you know, Ernest to come in and play.
Yeah.
For like a day. Yeah, yeah, like day. The first time. Eventually he just like warms up to him, but the guitar is what really like, you know,
yeah,
like pulls him in.
But I feel like usually like when you set something like that up, it's going to be like a pivotal plot point in the movie, and not so much.
No, I mean, it's just like a little thing that you have to know. It was like does the movie work without the guitarist? Maybe. They try to make it a bigger thing in the beginning. I thought that this man was going to be a big deal when it comes to playing the guitar. And it was just like, no, it's just a little thing you need to know about him.
Yep. And so he goes up in the attic and the ghost comes out and is like, aah! And the kid is just like laughing, like hilarious. Like, oh man, that's awesome. And he's filming him with the phone.
Immediately filming him. I don't know. Like I know I talked a big game a second ago about that. Yeah, I don't really, as long as the ghost ain't bothering me, but I think I would at least react. You know, I don't know if I could just like stand there with my camera thinking like, oh, this is pretty cool. Maybe get like a second of footage.
His face.
Yeah. Maybe get like a second of footage and then still run away. You kind of have to run for effect. You know what this is. You're in a haunted house. A ghost pops up. Humor the ghost. You have to run.
Mm-hmm. It's so insulting to the ghost. Like you're Isn't not scary. It?
Look at you with your bowling shirt on, Ernest. Now, being afraid of someone named Ernest is a choice.
Yes.
So maybe that's what it was. Like between the bowling shirt and the name, he was like, I don't feel threatened at all.
Yeah. And so then he sits down and he has like a whole conversation with Ernest, who is the ghost that haunts the house. And basically, like Ernest like can do like the rules of Ernest are a little fast and loose, right?
Yeah, he can touch stuff in the physical world. But they can't touch him, but he can touch them.
Yes.
But he's also not a danger to them, even though he could actually hurt them but I'm not quite sure if he can hurt them, because there are moments where they should have been hurt, but they weren't hurt. He's throwing stuff. He can't talk. His, like, for some reason, his mouth is just like, it just doesn't work anymore now that he's a ghost. So that's why he does all the wailing.
Right.
And he has no memory. He does not remember how he died, and we don't know why.
And he also can ride in a car and hang on to a windshield.
Don't get ahead of yourselves. Like, see, at first we're led to believe that he cannot leave the house. Maybe he died here. Maybe it's Maybelline. Who knows? But it turns out he's just afraid to go outside. Like many people, he's just afraid of the outside world, because as far as he was concerned, he was a ghost in this house, and outside is scary. So why would I go out there?
But I don't think a ghost should be able to ride in a car.
Like, at all?
I don't think so. Cause I mean, they can walk through a wall.
Yeah. But they can sit on stuff. He sat on a little box, or, you know, like, he can physically touch the physical world. It just can't touch him.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, he can sit on the back seat, but can the car hit him and kill him? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they've got this video of the ghost, and it's being shared around the house, and he shares it with Anthony Mackie, dad, aka mm-hmm. Frank. And dad puts it on YouTube.
Rob, I just realized, Frank, that isn't that your alternate name as well?
I have been called Frank. Yeah.
You are Frank. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I knew there was some more parallels in this movie. Dad is weird. Dad initially, he doesn't seem like him and Kevin have any shared interests. Kevin finds this ghost. Fulton finds out about the ghost. Dad finds out that Fulton found out. They're all looking at the ghost video. And dad's initial reaction is, okay, we cannot tell mom because she's going to freak out. But dad and Fulton never freak out either. Dad's like, send me the video. Why? For reasons. I just need it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't explain why, but very quickly we find out he wants to go viral. So he posts the video online on YouTube for the world to see.
And this is weird. I feel like that they're talking about the video at one point, like, it's talked about as a viral video of Ernest the mm-hmm. Ghost, but other times it's talked about like, hey, my video has 1,000 views. Is that good? And so, which is it? Is it viral, or did it have 1,000 views?
Yeah, 1,000 views is not viral. That does not count. I think they're just more videos. They start to get more traction. Initially, when they post the video, they're getting those comments like, boo, this must be a hologram, CGI, Photoshop. TikTok, all this other stuff. And they end up posting another video later on when mom finds out. And then that one starts to pick up steam. And then in little places here and there, it starts to get more of a following until eventually it seems like it's a viral sensation.
Yeah. And so nobody in the house itself, like of the dad and the brothers, nobody's too concerned about the ghost. It's like, okay, just be cool about this. We have a ghost. Don't tell mom. But
right.
this is our thing.
The don't tell mom part is weird to me, because it's like, we want to keep this under wraps so mom doesn't freak out, but also we want it to go viral and become internet sensations off of it. And you'd have to think those things overlap at some point, right? Mom is going to find out because you're posting it online everywhere. So she's going to find out, and she's going to derail whatever scam you have going on the moment she realizes she lives with a potentially violent ghost. So I don't know. It's a bad plan from jump, but it's all they have.
Yeah. And I can understand the impulse. Don't tell mom. I mean, I think
that's as a rule of thumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my kids are like snitches, that they always go back like that. And sometimes I'll be like, hey, like, whatever you do, like, let's just, like, this is between us. And then, like, the second my wife walks in the room, like, mom, like, what is wrong with you? Why are you like this?
Yeah. It's, the kids don't have anything better than to do. They don't have bills. That's why you really have to start, like, at a very young age. You have to give your children tasks to keep them from talking to their mama all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think at this point, get them a job, part-time job. You know, child labor law says you probably shouldn't. Like,
hey,
but whatever.
I will give you this. My only condition here is don't tell mom. And then, like, the game theory of it just doesn't even make sense to me. Of that, then they just go right, like, mom, dad gave us this and said not to tell you. Why would you do that? Now I'm never going to give you anything.
It's like, but aren't you? Aren't you, though? I see. That's the thing. They've already worked out that you're soft. You say, no. I'm not going to give you anything.
No, because I hold a grudge. I hold a grudge, Chappelle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you fold. Didn't you just take these kids to Disney? These aren't the kids. These kids been snitching on you for years. And you're like, let's go to Disney. Like, see, you're just soft. Tissue paper.
So we have a day where mom is doing yoga and the guys go up in the attic. And so we're going to get the camera out. We break out the guitar. Ernest the Ghost. He loves classic rock.
Well, yeah. I guess there's a little explanation about that later on. But yeah, it's this thing. If you're playing some sweet guitar riffs, Ernest is going to peek his head out. And that's exactly what he does. That's what they use to summon him from now. Well, in these two scenes. And then after that, he just kind of comes in whenever they want him to.
Yeah. And so we like have some commotion going on. Eventually, mom is going to come upstairs like, go, what's going on? Does she find out about the ghost? Is this the point where then she like finds out about being on social media and so comes up to start yelling?
Yeah, she comes upstairs and she's already kind of confused, but she basically walks up on the ghost and it turns around and attacks her. Well, not really attacks, but just kind of flies through her. And that's enough for her to completely freak out. She's done. She's screaming. She wants to move. All the things that they knew she would do, she's doing.
Yeah. And Anthony Mackie is giving the like, just let me have this woman vibe, right? Like, hey, come on. This is my thing.
What else do I have? You know, they've gone from like 1,000 views to 26,000 views in 5 minutes. 26K in 5 minutes is a big deal. I know, Rob, you do numbers on your social media, but well, the older brother asks,
he says 30,000 views. That's going to get me laid.
I don't know. I've never had 30,000 views on anything. Rob, now you've had 30,000 views on plenty of things.
No,
I'm sure.
No.
Okay.
I have not found any correlation.
I won't pry. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. So we see that. Okay, the ghost is there. The mom sees the ghost. They got a new video, and they're gonna post it to social media. And this was my favorite part of the movie coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Social media reacts to Ernest the Ghost.
It's kind of accurate, right? This is very, very accurate. Social media is people gonna try to go viral off of whatever somebody else is going viral to. And I think I've been picking on TikTok a little bit in this conversation, but you know, a large part of TikTok is remixing things that people have already done. Just you find some audio that works on someone else's video and then you put it on your video and you lip sync it, or you just, you know, maybe do like another video, but you just use that same exact like audio or that same scenario and you just get famous off of it. And they have challenges and different versions of that on Instagram and Reels and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And so this was on par for what I would expect to happen. They were doing the Ernest challenge at some point.
Yeah. Everybody is talking about Ernest the Ghost. That some people were talking about how Ernest the Ghost is fine. People were doing the Ernest challenge where Ernest like ran through a wall. And then people were trying to like do like jackass stunts of that. They were running into the wall. There were then people who were recreating the mom scream and trying to meme that. That was like a popular meme. But then there were some people who were talking about how, hey, this is the time we need to stand up for ghosts' rights. Ghosts have rights too.
But do they? Like, I feel like we have to discriminate against something or someone. It needs to be
ghosts.
The ghost. Yeah. I think this is the time, you know, I think all of us as people can come together and say, well, at least we're all alive. And so, if somebody doesn't have rights, it has to be the ghost. I'm sorry. I will be on the problematic side of this argument and say, no, I don't really have to think about ghost rights too much.
Yeah. So I think it's a good question to explore.
I don't think so. There's a woman in these viral videos who was saying that she thinks Ernest, or Ernie, as she was calling him, basically came into her dream and impregnated her. She's like, that's why. See, we need to just leave stuff to the physical world. You know, I need to be able to, if it's not tangible, we don't need to talk about it. Because I don't want people saying that they were, you know, there was any misconduct done by these ghosts that we can't, you know, control, we can't monitor. And trying to save Ernest from capitalism isn't a thing. You know, like, it's a ghost, man. I think he's up for grabs.
Yeah. So everybody's talking about Ernest. And so that Ernest is now, like, getting this family famous. Dr. Phil is talking about Ernest.
See, that's when you pull the plug. That's when you pull the plug. The moment Dr. Phil pops up in your life, you have to say, okay, this is an
issue.
Things
have gone sideways.
Yeah. Dr. Phil wasn't even the most notable influence or media personality. Rob, I saw one of your faves, Bob the Drag Queen, weighing in.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at that. That's Bob. But yeah, once Dr. Phil knows, you kind of have to be like, all right, something's afoot here. Because I don't think anything's ever good has ever been tied to Dr. Phil.
No, I don't think so. So I think he had eaten in a Sharknado once. I think that might have been the
The high point. Yeah, I'll check it out. Which Sharknado was that? Sharknado 1, 2, 3, 3D.
We might have to do a full rewatch.
Put it on the wheel. 3X.
Yeah. Okay. So we get introduced to Tig Notaro's character, somebody who we talked about, Your Place or Mine. Tig Notaro was in that movie as well. Tig Notaro plays Dr. Leslie Monroe. And was part of like some CIA operation called Operation Wizard Clip.
Yes. Tig Notaro pops up on my screen and I go, I know her. And I'm thinking Lindsay Wilson, Dame Lindsay Wilson is somewhere like fist pumping because that's her girl. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tig here is a part of this, I guess a now debunked or defunct operation called, was it Wizard Place?
Wizardly Place. Yeah, Wizard Clip.
Yeah, Wizard Clip. And apparently this was a operation that was used to track and like do like paranormal activity experiments and stuff. And eventually there was no money being made there. I guess the outcomes were inconclusive. And so they shut it down.
Yeah. And now we have where our Tig Notaro is like writing books and stuff like that. We also learn of a character on television called the West End Medium. The West End Medium is played by Jennifer Coolidge. And Jennifer Coolidge, she's on The White Lotus. She's out there. She's going to get her bag because she's coming in for, I think it's like they had Jennifer Coolidge for 2 hours.
Yeah, this movie. She only got a few seconds in. She's between filming. She has to fly off to Italy.
She's the thumbnail for me on Netflix for this.
It's like, huh, you like The White Lotus? You're going to love this one. Jennifer Coolidge's character is Jennifer Coolidge what she does best, you know. This is a play on the Long Island Medium, no?
Yeah, Long Island Medium. Is Long Island Medium still out there?
I don't know, Rob. I was gonna say, honestly, I was gonna ask if you were the expert on this.
Our medium. Being that,
it is. Did you have a lot of experience watching one of the 14 seasons of Long Island Medium?
No, I did not watch it. I know a lot of people in my family did. I want to say, did she have a scandal for something? I think that there was some issue, but I think she's still touring.
I mean, I think the typical scandal that you would have from a medium would be that people are demanding that you prove your abilities.
Yeah.
I need to see that you can do the things that you say you're doing. And I think a lot of this is up for debate, mm-hmm. whether or not it is true, whether or not it's believable. I tend to say that if you say you could do these things, cool. Like again, if they don't affect me, I'm chilling. Please don't take advantage of other people and scam people if you can avoid it. But you know, if this is your bag, you know, do your thing.
Yeah.
Bother me then.
I'm reading some reviews of the Long Island Medium show on Google. We don't need to get into that. People didn't like her show.
Is this disparaging to Long Island?
No, it's disparaging to mediums, I think.
To mediums all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. So Jennifer Coolidge comes in for, you know, it's so silly though, this movie, because it's like, okay, you have Ernest, you have the ghost, you're blowing up on TikTok. There's no hotter fame than being on like, this movie tries to say that, okay, being on like the Long Island Medium you'd be more famous than being like viral on TikTok.
I think the Long Island Medium adds some legitimacy to this in a weird way, because prior to this, people have not seen the ghost in person. So people are assuming that there's a ghost TikTok, you know, or filter or trend. In which ghost talk is a thing. Don't play. I'll send you the links. It's out there. Like mermaid talk and ghost talk go hand in hand. But I think what it is that no one's seen Ernest in person. So they have to believe that this TikTok trend is just that. It is like maybe some type of video that someone created, something, some deep fake technology or something. The Long Island medium coming and sitting down and actually speaking to the ghost and saying like, oh no, this is legitimate because look at this medium. Yeah. See, that's her profession. She's famous. Let's do it. That's the moment that they're looking for. They're looking for somebody to believe that this is a real thing.
But this is where the movie takes kind of a weird turn. So like Kevin, the kid, ends up saying to the ghost, like, you got to be scary. Like, you're just being, like, silly. Like, you got to do something scary. And then, so the West End medium is there, and it's like a horror movie. And then everybody, like, runs away, and Jennifer Coolidge is like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. She, like, dives out a window. It's like, okay, well, this, we've seen this type of move from her before. And yeah, it's like, Anthony Mackie is pissed. He's like, what? This is scary now. Come on. That's not what we wanted, a scary ghost.
He wanted something that he could keep under his thumb and make money off of. The problem is, you know, scary ghosts sound entertaining until that people are actually afraid of it. And then we know how people react to stuff that they fear. Mm-hmm. They kind of get violent toward it. And so Jennifer Coolidge's character is no different, because when she's there, she's under the premise that might be some hologram technology going on, a little Tupac, you know, happening here and there. But she finds out.
Is that why she called him Tupac?
She said the Tupac one was better.
Oh, she was like, she's like, is that the best you got, Tupac? And I was like, is this like a joke that that he's dead? Like, is that? So yeah, hologram. Okay, that makes more hologram sense. I was like, this is like very mean to Tupac.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest to Tupac, but yeah, Tupac hologram was a thing several years
Where's
ago.
Where's Biggie?
A good question. But yeah, when she realizes that this is not a hologram, that's when she freaks out. Because prior to that, she was talking about the production value being great, and she's watching people from a distance kind of get affected by this. And she's painting on her makeup, waiting on her big moment. And I mean, to be fair, Ernest is giving the best that he can do. I mean, he is like, he's giving exorcism vibes, head spinning around, vomiting everywhere. And so he has to physically choke her with his like zombie hand out of his mouth. Yeah. That's the moment, and his face melts off. That's the moment where she realizes, okay, I need to go jump out of a window.
Yeah. Okay. And so now they're like, oh boy, this is not good. But this does catch the attention of Tig Notaro finally. And so she's going to come in and roll in and like basically put this place on lockdown.
Yeah, this place is now a part of the government's experiments to figure out what is beyond the veil, right? What's on the other side? And so she's the first person who comes to them and says, like, no, this is a real concern. And, you know, the CIA could potentially be involved. I don't think when she shows up, the CIA is really like they're on the same page, her and the CIA. I think she has an emotional connection to the ghost thing and she wants to explore it. And I think that the CIA probably wants to do what the CIA wants to do, which is whatever they want.
I don't really understand what the CIA was involved with here. Like, I kind of feel like they're going for like an ET thing where it's like, OK, I understand. Like, OK, like in ET, like I don't know if it was like NASA or whatever wanted to study E.T., where like they trying to use Ernest as a weapon? Did they think Ernest was a threat?
You know, again, this is something that's unknown. And so that if we can harness it, we'll be the only people with it. And then the sky's the limit. But you're right. They don't really establish a lot of it. They just kind of say this man is wearing a suit and tie, so he has to be evil. Look how ominous he looks out the window. And so from there, you have to assume that there's some nefarious plot going on. We don't ever learn what that is, but we know that there's a lot of like laser guns and stuff involved. So it can't be on
a little bit of like Men in Black vibes too.
Men in Black, some Ghostbusters in there. It's a lot of that going on.
Right. Chappelle, we haven't talked about the young woman who ends up being Kevin's love interest. Joy.
Yeah, she's the trombonist of the neighborhood. She lives next door, and that's it. You know, she's not fitting in the most at school too, because the people are being racist toward her. And so her and Kevin, they kind of bond over proximity because they live next door. She doesn't seem like she's too afraid of the murder house that lives next door to her. I mean, she still lives there and she doesn't have any issue with it. But her thing is that she wants to take control of her own life because
she's not scared of ghosts either.
No, and like she'd rather be in control of her own life than be afraid and stuck in her dad's house. Her dad is like hell-bent on making her, you know, a top student to make sure her grades are all good, which sounds okay at like first glance. But then she talks about how he basically wants them to be a model minority so that they can fit in. You know, like if you're exceptional at all the things that white people value, then you can basically be white too. Like now you don't, no one has to discriminate against you. And so she's finding herself pushing back against that because she wants to live her own life. And Kevin is kind of in the same boat where he's trying to live his own life. So the two bond over that. And eventually it gets kind of like schmoopy.
It does get a little schmoopy. Yeah.
A little schmoopy.
How old are these kids, Chappelle?
I'd have to guess about 16.
16?
Well, the only reason I say that is because Kevin grabs the car keys at some point and just starts driving.
Yeah.
And around 16 years old is when I started driving. So I thought maybe that's kind of, you know,
I don't know. He's like driving a car. They're staying in motel rooms. I'm like, I don't know about any of this.
Yeah. And I think I stayed in my first motel room around the time I was 17. So 16, 17. No. 16, 17 is probably the sweet spot for something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they have to convince Ernest that he's going to leave the house. They're going to make him like go and like, okay. They're like, he can't leave the house. But like, did he try?
Yeah. Did you believe in yourself, Ernest? Like, have you thought about that? Yeah. So he thinks he's confined to a house, which I mean, traditional ghost wisdom would make you believe that maybe he's haunting the house. Yeah. But I think they just really want him to go out and find out who he is, right? Because they've been calling him Ernest just because he was wearing a polling shirt that says Ernest. They don't actually know that that's his name. So they think if we could get him out of the house, then we can find out who you are, find out what happened to you, and then potentially help you transition to the other side.
Okay. Because Joy is like almost like a hacker. She can like find out this information and it's like, okay, we got to go explore. Like I found a picture with this guy who looks like Ernest. So we're going to go to a bar. And so they end up leaving at a good time because that's right when the CIA is going to put the house on lockdown. And so they go to the bar and they get a picture of Ernest with another guy. And like, if we can find this guy, then we'll be able to get the clues. But he lives like, what, 4 hours away?
Yeah. So the issue here is that they're doing, Joy, she hops into action. She does her Googles and her hacking or whatever the case may be. And she finds very quickly that Ernest is not this ghost name. Ernest is a completely different person who owns a bar, but he doesn't live nearby, but he does own his bar. So if we find the original Ernest, maybe we can find out who this fake Ernest ghost person is. So they go to the bar. They find a picture of Ernest, the ghost Ernest, with like a cowboy hat on. There's a jukebox there. And then you start to think, oh, that's the music connection, right? Like he's there. He's like maybe a guitarist or something like that. Mm-hmm. But once they realize, okay, this Ernest is definitely connected to that Ernest, we still need to go find the other Ernest. And so that's what leads them to go looking for the man who is known as Ernest, who owns that bar.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the police are after them at this point. And really what ends up happening is they end up like going they meet the kid at the park first. And then he like scares a little girl because he's trying, apparently Ernest had a connection to a daughter.
Yeah. Ernest runs up on a little girl in the park. He kind of is like, he's trying to, it's like at first he's just looking around, you know, like Ernest isn't really bothering anybody, can go invisible every now and then, but they're looking for visual cues that will help, you know, restore his memory. And the first big one we get, like there's like this like a bear or something like that, a little rabbit or something they have, like a stuffed one that they have. And he kind of reacts to it a little bit. And now seeing this little girl, he has like a complete reaction to where he's, oh, something's definitely there. He remembers having a child. Is this his child? Probably not, because it looks like he's been dead for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But this kid does trigger something in him. And so now we know that there is a connection to maybe something about his child is the reason why he can't remember what's going on. And so, yes, this interaction and the fact that they will not cooperate with the CIA willingly leads the CIA to pulling a gun on a bunch of black folks, you know, minding their own business. I mean, these people are asleep. They kick in the door with their laser sights, you know, and they basically hold them at gunpoint because there's a ghost around. And this is very dangerous, potentially, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like this. I was like, do we have to do this? I didn't love it.
It was making me ask some questions like, are Ghostbusters police?
Right. Because the CIA is firmly policed. I don't think, again, I don't think the ghosts get to follow the same rules. You know, like if you're going to go capture the ghosts, by all means. But these people are in the physical realm and you have like ARs on them while they're sleeping because they know a ghost lived in their house. Yeah. I don't know if that's something that you should be pointing a gun at somebody like for.
You have a movie that's supposed to be a family comedy. Like, I don't think you needed like the SWAT team to like come into this comedy with their like to like get like everybody get on the floor. Like it was, I don't know. It felt like a weird note to hit.
Well, it would be different. We've seen stuff like this in other films, maybe like a Godzilla or something like that, or even like Transformers, where you have this device or this person or this like, you know, a monster or something like that that's living under someone's thumb and it's doing violent things or destroying the city or something like that on accident. And so you have to go in with these weapons because this thing could be very dangerous. We've seen it do dangerous things. To this point, Ernest has hurt no one. And so there's really no reason to believe that you need to, you know, send the SWAT team, like you said, to these people's homes. Also, we know that Kevin, Joy, and Ernest are kind of on the run. And they get hemmed up by the cops at the gas station. There's a gun on at least two or three guns put on Kevin, who is a child. Yeah. To the point where Ernest has to, like, legit disarm the cops so that they don't shoot this kid for knowing a ghost. My eyebrow was raised, Rob. I wasn't enjoying the shenanigans here.
Yeah. Ernest is able to then like disarm a gun. I did think that like when Ernest like pulled the gun out of the holster and turned it on the guy, I'm like, oh, Ernest is going to blow this guy away. Luckily, Ernest just like took the bullets out of the gun. But yeah, we get a lot of gunplay going on now.
A lot of pistol play. And I'm never a fan of pistol play.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah. And we get our high speed chase, which has like numerous car crashes of Kevin is going to try to like Kevin. We don't know if he can drive, like he's driving through like a four way intersection at like top speed to get away. I mean, Ernest doesn't care. He's dead.
Yeah, Ernest is good. The cops, he doesn't really care that they're destroying this. Now, again, I just said that Kevin hadn't done anything to anybody. Why would you pull a gun on him? This is what happens when you start pulling guns on children. They do erratic things like drive like at high speeds to get away from the cops who are still pulling guns on the kid. You're like, it's not smart. It's led this kid to driving through intersections and destroying half of the town. But it probably could have been avoided had you not pulled out the gun on him at the gas station.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Okay. Kevin and his and Joy get away and they end up at a motel. He makes contact with his mom and Tignataro's like, tell me what he said. She's like, I'd rather eat razor blades and drink lemonade than help you. It was a little
dramatic. I thought was it's very dramatic, but it hits the point, right? I had never heard anybody use that turn of phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got, because the razor blades, I'm assuming, just like slice you up, and then lemon juice is like,
I don't know.
Ooh, it stings.
As a parent, like, I think I might be a little bit more like, if this was my house, okay, and my kid had now like was off on the run and then like, you know, called up and said like, hey, we're doing this. So, like, he's like, find my kid, get him back here. I'm not so invested with my kid completing the mission to redeem Ernest.
Yeah. I think the thing that gets them invested. Yeah,
it sounds like he's at a motel. Go find him.
You're turning in your own kid.
Bring my kid home. I don't care about Ernest.
No, but see, look what's going on at home. You got the CIA, got the guns pulled on them. They're being held against their will. They're not under arrest, but they're being detained and they haven't even done anything wrong. Yeah. It's kind of like, whatever y'all are doing, y'all might be onto something. Just, you know, keep the party going for a little bit at least.
Yeah. But
to your point, if your kid was just in a high-speed chase, go get the kid.
Yeah, bring him home. We'll figure this all out.
Bring him home. Okay? We have to figure it out, but you cannot be out here nearly dying behind the wheel of your brother's car.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they did steal older brother Fulton's vehicle to make this chase happen.
Nice car.
It was.
Because he's an influencer now. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice car, and now it's gone.
Okay. So they end up going to this guy's house, and he tells a whole story. He's like, that's not Ernest. That's Randy.
Yeah, that's when we find out that Ernest isn't even his name. So this older gentleman, he's there with his wife, Ramona, who had once had a stroke. And so he's just kind of hanging out. They think that this is the connection that they need to find out, you know, Ernest's true identity and help him go back into the afterworld or whatever. And so Randy used to live, I guess, close to this family. I guess her sister was married to him or something. Maybe it's a baby daddy. Is that what was happening here?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's something to the effect of that. Like, so basically he went out, got drunk or something like that, and they found him dead. He never came back. There was like an accident or something. And so from that, they never saw him again. So they ended up taking in his child and keeping her, you know, as their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ernest, you piece of ish. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I don't even like you anymore, Ernest. Yeah, you're garbage.
Right, I was rooting for you. But then Ernest shows up. Like, Randy, I see you talking about, like, Randy, our original Ernest, he shows up in the room, like, as he hears his man slandering him and just kind of stands in the corner looking like,
I'm going to knock your little statue down.
Right. I'm about to mess all this up. But then the CIA shows up. They have their plasma guns. And they're like, okay, we finally got him. And so they end up taking Ernest away. And I guess he's under arrest, Rob. This is very confusing to me. Now, Ernest is held at gunpoint.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
He's a ghost away. I don't get it.
They've got, like, I guess their CIA ghost gun that they use to, like, and they bring Ernest to jail. And he's in, like, how are you going to have a movie where you have a ghost in jail?
They got the proton pack, right? And they're just like, it was just vacuuming them up in there. I seen Ghostbusters. Isn't that the goal? But they have to walk him out. And then I think cuff him. You know, they legit detain the ghost.
Yeah. How do you not throw the script out at that point where it's like, okay. And then they put the ghost in jail.
Right. And it, like, and then I flip the table over and walk out. Like, that's when you just draw the line. But they take them to, like, the CIA lair where they always do this in movies where they show just, like, the shiny, like, almost like translucent cell. We don't know what's keeping the bad guy in the cell, but, you know, science smarter than us is keeping him trapped here. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that with Ernest as well. Tig Notaro, like I said, her character has, like, an emotional connection to ghosts. So she really looks like she's starting to bond with Ernest as well because she doesn't like the way he's treated in prison.
Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah, she's like starting to cry and Ernest is like, okay, well, Randy, should we call him?
Randy.
he like touches her tear and, you know, they end up having like a little bit of a connection. So Kevin is back home. He ends up being back home and he ends up having like a moment to connect with his dad. And, you know, Anthony Mackie ends up saying like, hey, you know, like, I'm sorry, I've been a bad dad. And they kind of have like a connection here. Try to redeem Anthony Mackie.
Well, we finally get some backstory to why they're falling off so much because we don't see an inciting incident, but this is when Anthony Mackie tells us the most about how he wanted to be the best dad in the world, but he hadn't really figured out who he was as a person. Even as of today, you know, he's still trying to figure out what his niche is, what he's going to do to make his own, and he really tried to make this influencer thing happen. But ultimately, he wants to do that to make a better life for his family. So he does have to apologize. I think he said something to the effect of that, like, they're better at, like, Kevin's better at 14 than he is at 45, or however old he is.
That is true.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, you know, Ernest is in the cell and he sees somebody for some reason, somebody has like a bald eagle pin. And he's like, I recognize that bald eagle.
Yeah, something about this little bird makes me have, like, it triggers the memory, and it's kind of like a combination of all the memories he's had thus far. So the bird triggers the memory about the little girl, which we saw him do at the park, and she's holding the bunny rabbit, and they're in the house, and basically, we see him kind of saying goodbye to his daughter. He's passing her off to, I guess, the sister-in-law. And then all of a sudden he gets bashed over the head with this eagle statue. And it turns out that it's the real Ernest, the one that has been telling us the Randy story. That's the guy who did it. He bashed him over the head. He buried him alive. I guess he was dead by then. But he buried him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He buried him.
I don't know whose POV he's seeing this through.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the ghost like POV. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like an overhead view, you know, like an out of body experience for sure. But he busts him over the head and throws him into a grave, and then that's it. And so that's probably why he doesn't remember, because he was concussed on the way out.
Oh, is that what you think happened?
I don't know if it's just ghost rule that they just don't remember how they died, or if it's literally because he sustained a head trauma right as he was dying.
Yeah. But
yeah. So this is the memory that he needs. Now he knows exactly what happened. The guy that we now know is the real Ernest murdered him and kidnapped his kid, essentially.
Yeah. It's messed up.
And this is pretty bad. This is pretty bad. Real Ernest is a jerk.
Yeah. And so then, because came up, then real or fake Ernest is gonna go to the house and go and try to take back what's his.
Well, he catches an Uber.
Yeah.
Which
no, it's a Lyft, Chappelle.
Oh, it's a Lyft. You're right. It's a Lyft. Maybe that's the ghost lore we're overlooking. Maybe ghosts can't do Uber, but they can do Lyft.
Yeah,
you know, there's only specific rideshare apps that are content ghosts. I don't know. Maybe we should re-explore the ghost human rights issues, because if they can't do all rideshares, then they should. You know, it's something's wrong here. They're being discriminated against, and I want to talk about it.
I thought that was the funniest part of the whole movie, where there's a bachelorette party where they're are calling an Uber, and Ernest hops in, and the girls are like, hey. That's my Uber. And the driver is like, hey, it's a Lyft, B word.
Right. And drives off. That's fine. I love Ernest the Ghost. I'll give him a ride anywhere. Yeah. Ernest is trying to get back home. I'm assuming that he thinks that
he's an influencer.
He is a fake Ernest. Randy is trying to get back home to the family to go help Kevin, because he thinks that Kevin could potentially be in danger. And he is. The real Ernest, the one that we know as a murderer, has broken into their home and taken Kevin hostage at gunpoint. And is because he thinks they're coming after him. He thinks this whole thing is a scam.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Right. And it's nobody is trying to, capture you for this crime that you committed. Actually, none of us actually know you've committed the crime except for this ghost who cannot talk. So you're actually in not a bad spot.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's been drinking a little bit. His guilt has overrun him. And so he just, like most villains, announces his plan from top to bottom. You know, hey, I killed him and I took his daughter, and it's my wife's fault. She made me do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are. That's how we got here.
I didn't want a kid. Yeah, she doesn't even talk to us anymore.
I didn't want a kid. She's a stupid woman. She had a stroke and now she doesn't speak to us. Okay, Ernest,
I think that June doesn't speak to them, right?
Ramona doesn't speak to them either, you know? Ramona had a stroke. She can't talk no more. It's damn, Ernest, you doing all this stuff and all these women are turning against you?
Yeah,
these men get no respect.
No
you
respect.
Know?
Yeah.
No
okay.
respect.
So ultimately, now Ernest is going to show up. He's going to take out the other guy and then just beats the hell out of him. Use all his Ernest powers.
Ernest powers come, activate. Yeah, the skirmish happens because, real Ernest is trying to kill Kevin. Fake Ernest, has a grudge now with the real Ernest.
Yeah.
And there's a moment.
Stained glass window.
Yeah. Well, dad finally shows up and steps up. You know, he pushes him out the glass window. He falls to his death. And we all live happily ever after for the most part.
Yeah. Okay. And so CIA still, you got the CIA involved. Okay. They're like, tell us what happened to Ernest. And Kevin's like, I don't know. He just disappeared.
Yeah. He's a ghost. What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
Which is a fair argument. He's like, but the CIA knows that there's something afoot. You know, there's no way this ghost that just been haunting this house for all these years just decided to up and leave now that this old random person has died.
Tell us what you know, kid.
He's like, you can't handle the truth. You know, it's one of those moments. Turns out, Kevin has freed Ernest from this world. He reunited him with June. She got to say goodbye to her dad. They had a really touching moment where he kind of all his memories came flooding back, the good times with him and his daughter, until eventually he transitioned into the afterlife.
Can I say this last scene bothered me?
Which part?
So Ernest is that they reunite him with the daughter. They brought his daughter. I guess they she saw her dad, And then like Ernest is like sitting by the water and, you know, he's like, oh, he's like starting to like move on to the next life. And really, it was more about Kevin and Ernest than like, did he even like look at his, I think he had a moment where he like looked at his daughter. But it's like, all right, random kid, like I care much more about you than my freaking daughter.
Hey, I mean, he hasn't seen the daughter in a very long time. We don't know. Sometimes I told you, Rob, sometimes these kids be having bad vibes. It's been a while. He doesn't know grown up her.
I wish you were my kid.
Yeah. I wish I had a black kid named Kevin instead. this wasn't really about June. It was never about June. Also, he's thanking.
Should ghosts have a comb over, Chappelle?
I was going to say that. Like, if I die and have to be a ghost, at least give me back my hair or something. I mean, his comb over, and I think he had worked up a sweat or something, too, because it was one of those, like, wet, floppy ones, too. Not the best work. Give me a ghost toupee any day. I'm sorry. It's, once you get the cul-de-sac form, and you kind of have to shave it all off, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And that's the end. But why does the family move out of the house?
I think you have to at this point.
You have to? You had a murder in your house. Demons.
There were two murders in your house. You got to go. The house was not nice. I bet they're downgrading.
You can't go backwards.
But they've made their money off of their paranormal activity. The house was horrible to begin with, and it was already going to be a fixer-upper. So, yeah, they were led astray. These people were sold a bill of goods when it came to the house. And so now that they know that it was haunted once, and it still could potentially be haunted. We don't know if real Ernest is going to come back to haunt the house that he was just pushed out the window of. So, yeah, we kind of got to go. Sever ties and move on.
All right. We have a ghost, too. Is it coming?
It is not.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
All right. That's We Have a Ghost.
Every movie does not need a sequel. I think We Have a Ghost, again, would not be a movie that I would be ready to watch. Now, if it happens on Netflix, we got to talk about it. But
I don't think Netflix does a ton of sequels for their movies.
I'm waiting on the Daybreak sequel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I need to know what happens next. You know, we saw Snoop Dogg survive that movie, and I want to know what happens when Snoop is the main character.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Chappelle, anything else about We Have a Ghost?
No, it was cool. Like I said, it's fun because you don't see a lot of black horror movies. It's not like a genre that a lot of black people are in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, if we're not making a lot of the movies, we're not getting a lot of roles in these things. It's just a genre that, like I said, doesn't have a lot of like really like black folk don't have a lot of stock in the horror genre. We love the movies, but for years and years and years, we just wouldn't be in them. And so this was fun to see us as kind of like the lead characters in this. And I'll give Netflix some credit for that. Representation is always cool from my point of view. But the movie was fine. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I have no real complaints. I mean, like I said, it could have been better, yeah. But I enjoyed seeing the cast here. Jahi Winston, Anthony Mackie, Tig Notaro, Jennifer Coolidge. Erica Ash, Niles Fitch. It was a good group of people. And so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, my biggest complaint is just that I feel like that this is a movie that really struggled to figure out what genre it wanted to be in.
And I'm still, now that it's over, what have we decided that this is? It's definitely a family movie, right? Family is involved.
It's about a family.
Right. I wouldn't watch it
with my family.
You wouldn't watch this with your family? It's like a family movie about a ghost. It's like Casper.
I don't know. It's like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Casper was funny. I will say this wasn't funny.
No.
But I don't know if it was supposed to be. I think this was supposed to be a feel good family movie about a ghost.
Yeah.
And it may or may not.
Kids.
Yeah. Your kids are like 15, 16, and they're kind of in that like Kevin/Fulton age range. Then maybe they like it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right. There are some adult themes in the movie, you know, but aside from that, It's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Chappelle, let's talk about next time.
Yeah. What do we got coming up on Netflix?
Next week. All right.
Yeah.
So, we could take a look at what's coming this week. We had discussed that, you know, the big thing happening on Netflix this next upcoming weekend is the Chris Rock live stand-up special, which is going to be live on Saturday night. That's going to be a big deal. I don't think it's going to be great to podcast about, but I do think that that's going to be a big deal. We talked about with Grace a little bit, this show Cheat, which is a show which is about people trying to lie to each other to win a cash prize. British game show.
You know, I know that the Renap listeners and the Renap hosts, y'all do love a good game, but I don't know if we've figured out a way to talk about a trivia game on Nothing But Netflix. We've kind of avoided that genre altogether, don't you think?
So you're saying that it's not something we should do, or because it would be hard to talk about?
I imagine it could be hard to talk about, but I also don't think it's impossible. I think if we came up with a way to talk about it, mm-hmm. we can make it happen.
Yeah. You know, I said that there's not a lot of Netflix sequels to their movies, but Murder Mystery 2 is coming.
Oh, when is that?
That it is just in the worth the wait category. It just is something that they are teasing, but does not have an official drop date yet. Coming this week to Netflix, so it looks like they're adding all the Hangover movies. I don't know who was asking for that.
They have to stack the odds so that whatever this new movie is that they drop, whether it's the Chris Rock outrage or whatever the case may be, or Cheat, that it becomes the number one movie on Netflix, because mm-hmm. Or show on Netflix, because I just don't see it happening unless you throw Hangover 1, 2, and 3 all in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All at the exact same time.
And then the rest of the stuff on the charts right now, Outer Banks is number one. You is down to number six. Did Joe Goldberg have a good run here?
Well, you know, they dropped their episodes in batches this time. So they did for half the season now, and they're going to do half the season later. And so I think like the first half already got the big spike that it was going to get. And now it's slowly, you know, as people have already seen it, slowly falling down in the rankings. And then when they bring in the second half, it'll be back up there again. I know that LaTanya and Marissa are covering you on Post Show Recaps. And then Mary and Sarah are covering Outer Banks on Post Show Recaps as well. So you can catch both of those things over there. And you don't have to really worry about that on Nothing But Netflix. Unless we wanted to have maybe Mary and Sarah on to catch us up on season 1 and 2 of Outer Banks. That is a possibility.
Okay. Another show that is returning as well is Sex Life. Do we care about sex/life?
We do care about those things in vacuums. I don't know if we care about the season 2 of it. Season 2 is coming this Thursday. There was a season 1 that was, I believe, 8 episodes, an hour each. So I think we'd have to get caught up on season 1 in order to then talk about season 2 as it drops this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think you could do that?
I gotta watch all of Sex Life. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't really like the message about what the movie is about this.
Ooh, what is it about? I have no clue, actually.
Wife that I feel like is like really unsatisfied in her marriage and like looking for like hot guys to hook up with.
Yeah, maybe it's not enough. Look, how about I'll just binge it.
I don't want to bring that energy into my world.
I'll binge it and just see if it's Nothing But Netflix material. Probably not, but I'm still going to watch it a couple times just to check it out. Mm-hmm. And then and I'll follow up and let us know if that's something we'll be covering. Probably not, but again, it's going to take a professional eye to take a look at just how desperate this housewife is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm leaning towards trying to do Cheat. But I guess both shows, am I right? Is the theme week, Cheat and Cheat. So I'm leaning towards that, but you know, we listen to the listeners.
We do. The listeners of Nothing But Netflix have been great thus far. They help us determine what we're going to watch from week to week. And so, you know, we do appreciate the feedback. Continue to tweet us at Nothing But RHAP to let us know what you want to hear us talk about. I think people have brought up the Roku series. You know, we do have the
Roku.
We do have the ability to branch out from Netflix. And I saw a reality rom-com show, Meet Me in Paris, on Roku has been
buzzing. Reality rom-com. How does that work?
I don't know, but at @ablaine8 has suggested that we check out reality rom-com Meet Me in Paris. So that's a thing that we can do. Love to Hate You is top 10 in the US and is everything that My Place or Yours isn't, and is a truly fabulous watch. That's from Saucy Lemon 28. And so we've been getting feedback. So maybe we can go and look into some of these suggestions that we got on Nothing But Netflix.
Three, of course, Real Women followed the script. and write their own endings in Meet Me in Paris, a first-of-its-kind reality rom-com and a Roku original film. Is it a reality show or is it a movie?
Is it a reality show, a film?
What the freaking hell, Roku?
Do we have to check it out? It sounds intriguing, Rob. I don't know. I'd take a look at it if you wanted to talk about it.
I think it's a movie. Like, I feel like if it was a reality show, I could see going to Roku to talk about something reality, but just to go to talk about one of their random ass movies.
It's a reality movie rom-com.
What does that mean? Is it a movie or is it reality?
How will we ever know if we don't go watch it?
Is it a documentary?
It could be a documentary, you know, who knows? Also, you remember, I don't know if you remember way back when we talked about Uncoupled with Brian Scully. It got canceled. Well, it has been revived again at Showtime after Netflix canceled it. Yeah. So if you want, we can.
I refuse to pay for Showtime.
Yeah, well, this is nothing but Netflix, but it could be something from Showtime if you want it to be. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that can happen. So there are options. Also, people were asking for us to cover the rest of the Physical 100. It was a thing.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a very good season throughout. I enjoyed what we watched, but if you wanted to finish it off, I could do that.
Okay. All right. I'm leaning still towards Cheat, but let's see what we end up landing on.
Yeah, reality rom-com Meet Me in Paris does have my attention now.
Sometimes
I'm not gonna lie
to you. The scale gets tipped. Sometimes a guest comes out into the woodwork and says, "Hey, I'm here." Right.
Yeah, we might get the host of the reality rom-com movie to come on and talk to us. Who knows?
Okay.
No, I don't think that's a possibility. Okay. I have no clue. I'm just talking.
All right. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
I got a lot of stuff going on, right?
I know you do.
Man, it's been crazy. This has been crazy, wild times, but I've been enjoying myself. I don't even know where to start. So I was on 90 Day Fiancé podcast last week with Puya. Here on Rob Has a Podcast. That was a great time. But Puya and I are still on Post Show Recaps covering Bel-Air. We actually haven't dropped our first episode yet. Hopefully by the time this drops, our first episode will come out and we will talk about season 2, episode 1 of Bel-Air on Post Show Recap. So check out that. Just this week, we were playing Jackbox games here on Rob Has a Podcast.
That was a fun night.
That was a fun night. So people can check out that VOD over on twitch.tv/RHAP. Also on Rob Has a Podcast, you and I talked to Shannon about Australian Survivor, this weekend's Australian Survivor and the series as a whole. And I had a time of my life on the Australian Survivor versus US Survivor podcast that you and Shannon do every week. So I, would suggest people go check that out too if they want to hear my hot takes on that. Over on Silent Podcast this week, I'll be talking about Big Brother 6 along with Sasha, Isaiah, and Ty. And I just did a podcast on Silent Podcast covering Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Talked about Kang the Conqueror with my frat brother Gabe. So that was a good time as well. Let's see, what else? Oh, I'm on Post Show Recaps talking about Grey's Anatomy. Myself and Ariel have a podcast called Grey's Anatomy. And then every month, we're going to talk about this month in Grey's for the most part. And we're going to do some character deep dives into the past of some of our favorite Grey's Anatomy characters to commemorate Ellen Pompeo's last season as a series regular on Grey's Anatomy. So check that out as well. Myself and Gia are on Post Show Recaps talking about Abbott Elementary every other week. This week's episode of Abbott was wild. And if you're keeping up with Abbott Elementary, you're going to love it. So check out Gia and I covering that every other week. We're also covering the finale of Survivor Fiji on Silent Podcast on Gia's podcast Fiji Forever. Last week, I believe she had Mary Ann as her guest, or was it Kevin? I don't know. She's had some star-studded guests on before me, and so I'm gonna come in and clean up, you know, the end of the season with her. So check that out on Silent Podcast, and then of course on Post Show Recaps, Mari, Latanya, and I have just started the Plug podcast. It's the Connect the Plug on Post Show Recaps, where we'll be talking about the Black stuff. I don't even know any other way to put it. So we're talking about the final season of Snowfall on Post Show Recaps. Follow me on Twitter to keep up with all that stuff. And I've been saying this randomly on podcasts, but there's a guy on Instagram, Steve_versus_the_world. He's looking for a kidney. So go check out his page, see if you can help him out.
Okay. But
that's about it.
All right. Wow. Chappelle, busy week for you. Busy week for us here on Rob's Podcast. We're going to get Survivor 44 kicked off. And of course, a big part of that is going to be our big draft coming up on Monday night. Check out Chappelle's hype video
It really wasn't a hype video. I just wanted to encourage all of the people who win the draft to do well as usual, and all the people who have not won the draft to grow up. And so hopefully that's what they took from that video. But yeah, you could check us out Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And you can watch us live as we draft our winner for Survivor 44. And then, of course, the podcast will drop soon this week as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us here on Nothing But Netflix. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.